astronauts today are Mary McAvoy and Barbara Scully. Good afternoon to you both.
Good afternoon.
How's it going?
We're just admiring your man there in his
deep
suit
space.
Going out. You know, he doesn't look like he went for a space walk. He just seemed to just stick his head out.
Stick his head out, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Like, that's a great way to spend your millions.
They overcharged
or your billions.
Them. Yeah.
Do you know?
It's a cool looking spacesuit, though. Not
it is.
Because the old ones.
But I wonder what it's like. I mean, do you go out? Do you hear anything? You don't. You don't. In space, nobody hears.
Do you know
whose
book you should read if you want to know what it was like? Because it was really, really good. Is, remember your man? He was a big hit for a while on social media. Hadfield,
yes.
Commander
yeah,
Chris Hadfield.
I interviewed him. Yeah.
Right. He's
yeah.
really interesting.
Yeah.
And his book was really good about.
Yeah.
I think he had to go out and fix something that involved a spacewalk. And
yeah.
Yeah, he described it really well.
Spacewalk and a spanner.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, look, your man's just like, he's just he just pops his head out the top, has a bit of a wave, and then he goes back down again.
Yeah.
Sure, that's not
it. But it doesn't even look like space.
It does. It looks a bit fake.
It looks like
one of those moon landings were fake, but that could be
that could be.
And he looks like a Formula One driver. He looks like he's in a Formula One suit rather than an actual space
Studio
thing.
4 and RTE. Like,
yeah, definitely. That's all fake.
Hi, guys. I was at a work retreat recently. While there, I met a group of people who work for the same company as me, but in a different branch. The night after the conference, we went out for drinks and had great crack. I got chatting to one of the guys from the other office, and we got on so well. We added each other on Instagram, and when I got home, we started messaging. There wasn't much to his Instagram page. He's big into cars. So his grid was populated by pictures of him racing cars, doing fitness classes, etc. No sign of a girlfriend or anything like that. The chatting went over and back for a week, but got a bit X-rated at times. I don't think I ever developed strong feelings for this guy. It was more of a flirty friendship. Here's where it gets messy. In one of our chats, he mentioned that he was just back from Electric Picnic with his wife. I didn't want to react too badly because he never claimed that he wasn't married. He just never disclosed it. Now that I have all the information, I don't know what to do. Is it okay to keep having harmless chats with this man, even though he's married? Also, should I call him out for not telling me sooner? In my eyes, this isn't cheating, but I also know it's not good.
Have you the brain of a hen, Mrs?
Yeah.
Well,
that's hen-ist.
Tell us what you think, Mary.
That, and that's henist.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, sorry, Barbara. I just got the brain of a hen. I blew a gasket there.
It is a bit henist. I'm surprised at you now.
Yeah, I am. Sorry, yeah. I'll go home and I'll apologize
to your heads.
Like, I mean, for God's sake, like you met him, you found out he's married. Leave it alone.
Yeah.
Go away.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Yeah.
End of. He's an asshole.
Yeah.
Leave him alone and go away. Drop him like he's hot, and that's the end of that. Because and no matter you say it is unfaithful. He's being unfaithful. Like he is. He's been emotionally unfaithful.
Yeah.
But didn't they sleep together at the?
No.
Okay, it doesn't matter. He's been emotionally.
I'm taking that as face value as what its old fashioned meaning is, rather than something else.
I know. It's so tiring. Anyway, Barbara, I'd like to hear what you said, but I'm very cross.
I probably wasn't that. The first thing that struck me when I read this was I was at a work retreat, which seems like a contradiction
what is
in
that?
Terms.
Yeah. Yeah.
What the hell is a work retreat? I want to know about that.
So, yeah, there's Buddhist monks.
Yeah,
that bring you into a room and hit bells.
But to me, work and retreats are two really, really, really different things.
Yeah, but they all sound like the stock market bell in Wall Street when they ring the bell. That would be the meditation bell. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it is.
Focus on profits.
I wouldn't have probably been quite as exercised as you, Mary, about this because I think this person knows the answer to the questions she poses herself.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that it is cheating, but it's certainly a guy who's not very respectful to his partner or his wife or to the vows that he took. So I think it's okay to have harmless chats. I don't think there's a problem with that.
If
you know, she says she's not even sure that she's developed
X-rated
strong feelings.
Chats?
No, I would absolutely. Well, two things. I would dial down the frequency of the chats. In other words, you know, if he puts a chat up on wherever, Instagram or WhatsApp or wherever, leave it there for a little while before you respond to it. Absolutely close down any of the X-rated stuff. And if he does that, I wouldn't be at all slow about calling him out and saying, listen, mate, I didn't know you were married, so it's not appropriate. So cut it out. And I would probably just dial back on the kind of the chatting backwards and forwards because, you know, unless you think that we're going to have a nice platonic friendship, I don't really see the point. But he is at work, so I wouldn't necessarily fire off like a rocket. I would just back off from it kind of. and dial it down a little bit, and certainly cut out the X-rated thing.
But the thing is, if you are the guy, right, and you're married, she didn't know until it was clear to her, and you're still going with X-rated messages, I think that just puts you in the asshole category.
Oh, I think he possibly is.
And therefore he should be gone. And I think he should be called out on it, because it is very disrespectful to his wife.
It
really
is
really disrespectful to his wife.
But I think pick your battles. And I think if they're in a work situation together, you know, you don't want to create a kind of a big awkwardness in work. I certainly would call him out on the X-rated stuff, but not publicly, just to himself.
Oh, yeah, no, I don't mean publicly, but like...
Yeah,
yeah.
And well, then just dial
it down. I don't think she's going to be bumping into him anyway. He seems to be a different branch of...
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, maybe she's not.
You see, what I think happened is that this fella...
He thinks he's married. Great.
He was on a work retreat. He meets our correspondent here. They're working. They're wearing their robes or whatever the hell it is you work wearing.
I want to know what is a work retreat.
I really want to know. But I really don't want to go on one.
No, yeah, I don't want to go on one either. No.
But like he met this woman. They had drinks. They got on. Then they're following each other on Instagram. And then things get a bit X-rated. And then and he's enjoying it. And then he thinks, what the hell am I doing? So he mentions very casually
that he's going to wear my wife.
My wife, electric picnic.
Yeah.
To kind of calm everything down. Mm. Because
he had an
epiphany at some point where he realized he was being an asshole and he was disrespectful.
Or he was going to get caught.
Yeah. So he wants her to stop messaging him. That's what I think. I was with my wife at electric picnic means.
Well, equally then, she should just stop all contact, I think.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because for her own dignity as well as everything else. And I'm sorry I asked you, had you the brain of a hen, but I really got annoyed about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's okay to have a backwards and forwards, that as long as it doesn't stray into the X-rated territory.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's done anything. I mean, okay, he might have, like, it depends on what the X-rated territory is. If he sent in pictures of his Mickey, kind of like the top end.
Yeah.
But I mean, if he's just making some kind of, you know, double entendres and, you know, a bit... Like, call it out, shut it down. But I don't think you should kind of completely kind of get up on your high horse about it. And I think you're possibly right, Sean, in that he had some kind of epiphany where he thought, well, you know, I better bring the wife into this just so that she knows. He does sound, without wishing to be, but I am going to be kind of very big generalization here, but like, he's into cars and working out in the gym. Do you know, we all know this guy.
We do.
We all know him. Like, you know what I mean? And so there's no future in it. So
I would have thought when she looked that up on Instagram, that would have put her off, really. Cars and the muscles.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, if you thought that would put you
here we go.
I've been going out with my current boyfriend for about 6 months now. We are getting on great. I've even been on holiday with his family. However, it is only in the past month that he has felt comfortable enough to share his Mashalagnia kink with me. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right.
It's the first time I've ever heard this word before.
At first, I felt honoured that he was willing to share his secrets with me. But now he wants me to engage in his fetish. When I'm at work, he asked me to send him pictures of my armpits. And he's now encouraging me to grow up my armpit hair. I have reluctantly agreed, but it makes me feel very self-conscious when I'm at my swimming lessons. I just don't know what to do, because on the one hand, I want to help him achieve his desires, but on the other, the whole thing makes me feel nauseous. What should I do?
Sometimes I really hate doing this slot, because you end up learning stuff that you probably never really needed to know.
Yeah.
So I obviously had to Google what Mashalagnia or whatever.
It looks like lasagna.
And I had to Google it to find out that it is, as you said, an armpit fetish in which a person is sexually attracted to armpits. Listen to this, which may lead to armpit intercourse. Sexual activity with one or both armpits.
Okay, yeah.
Now,
How does that work?
I have no idea what that means or how it works, but I wish I didn't know it. Because that's the kind of stuff that I want in my dreams.
My brain has now gone into.
Yeah, well, I just thought I'd share that because intercourse.
I don't know how you do it. Like,
I don't know. If somebody can explain that, that'd be
fine. I suppose
fine.
You just...
Put your
Mickey under their arm. Is that the
one? I thought they were kind of going, you know, armpit to armpit. Yes. Like,
okay, maybe it's that. Yeah, maybe that's.
No, I was with you. I thought
that could be quite so.
I'm thinking, holy God.
Yeah.
But do you remember years ago there was a slight scandal, and George Clooney was inadvertently included in it, when some woman said that an actor that she'd been in a film with said wanted to see her, wanted to kiss her armpits. And because George Clooney was in this film, they thought it was George Clooney. And that was the first time I ever heard of that. I mean, I didn't know it was malefactorousery or whatever it's called. Do you know? But I'll tell you one thing. I read a book back in the 70s called The Happy Hooker. Do you remember that?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. I'll tell you, a bit of armpit sex wouldn't shock you after that.
I obviously never read it. See, I'd be better prepared for doing this.
Actually, somebody's already texting to say, my husband has a fetish with the back of my knees. During COVID, he made me wear a face mask behind my knee. And the next day, he would wear the mask on his face when he went to work. He found the smell comforting. In the bedroom, he likes me to stand up while he lowers himself into what can only be described as the Jack Russell position. I have become used to it.
Sorry. What's the Jack Russell position?
Oh, Jesus, this is so complicated now.
She's standing up. Like she's standing up. Is that what he says? And he's in the Jack...
That's like doggy, I presume. Or is there a specific...
Oh, he's on his back, maybe.
No, he's on his hands and knees like a dog. But I don't know if a Jack Russell means something slightly different. Because Jack Russells are very small.
Please tell us.
We don't really understand that.
I think I would go home and lay down.
Start to feel nauseous.
Well, it's not in the Jack Russell position.
No, certainly not. No.
So we haven't answered this woman's question.
No.
Okay, so like as we've often said before, like seriously, anytime I read these, I think, God, thanks be to God. Don't do anything you don't want to do. Like, if that doesn't turn you on, like, great for him if that's where he's getting off on. But if it doesn't do it for you, then don't get involved. I'm sure there's plenty of videos he can watch on his own if he wants to enjoy that end of thing, that side of things. But, like, you don't need to do that. And you don't need to grow out your armpit hair if you don't want to grow out your armpit hair. So, I mean, to me, like, I know she said that they've been going out 6 months and they're getting on great. She's been on holidays with his family. But, like, this could be a deal breaker. Yeah. I'd kind of probably tell him to go off and find somebody else who was into armpits as well and live happily ever after.
But it might be a very small part of the relationship. You see, that's the thing. And, you know,
I'd worry about the fact that he only now feels comfortable in sharing this with her. I think it'll grow. Like, I think there'll be more and more like now I've shared this.
More demanding armpit.
Yeah, more armpit action. And I just,
I'm astounded at the amount of fetishes there are. Like, you do, for every body part there's a fetish.
I'm not going in there.
What? Yeah. Where?
Apparently you can buy armpit wigs on Amazon. Someone helpfully suggested.
Why would you want to buy an armpit wig?
Because she can just stick it in, stick the armpit wig in her oxter and then take a picture of it and send him that.
But he obviously likes a hairy armpit.
Oh, well,
a hairy armpit is obviously it's all far about more the hairy attractive armpit. Than
I don't know. I'm
I wonder, perplexed. Is he into hairy nethers then as well? Because you know the way nowadays everybody shaves everything.
Yes, yeah.
So I wonder, is he into hairy
maybe
nethers?
Maybe there's a longing for hair.
Oh,
now
no, somebody's texting. Sorry to interrupt. The Jack Russell position. He's humping her leg.
Oh God.
I think I vomed a bit in my mouth there.
Yeah.
It's actually anatomically impossible if you actually think about it, unless he's about 4'6".
Yeah, and she's got really long legs.
Yeah. It's anatomically impossible.
Well, I suppose he could, but it'd play hell on his back.
It would.
Yeah.
It would. No, because you see if you, the distance and
between
down
yeah,
and
things
the,
in her
and
in
then
her leg.
Where does he get his hoo-ha into her kneecaps or whatever.
Yeah.
Kneecaps are behind her knees.
Back of
behind
her knee.
Her knee.
Back of her knee.
You see, that's what makes it... I could see the Jack Russell position.
Then she'd have to be squatting as well, really, would she not? She wouldn't be standing up straight because the back of her knee is just a straight bit.
So as he has as much... So, you'd be amazed how many texts are...
flying in.
The Jack Russell position. The Jack Russell position. And like, so many people are familiar with this,
Do you know something? Is they're all filthy out there. Absolutely filthy.
I think we just live a very sheltered life.
What is all doing?
Humping each other's legs.
Do you know what? This is what started now when we abandoned the Catholic Church. That's
exactly.
We'd have to really start thinking about what's going on. Yeah. No, I don't approve of any of that.
There's a few archbishops. I was going to say spinning in their graves, probably trying to crawl out of their graves. Going, I was into that too.
Yeah.
You think armpit fetish is bad? I've seen an episode of Law and Order SVU where people had crunch clubs. It was for people who get aroused with the sound of cockroaches being stomped on.
How? Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that'd be a big issue here because now, especially now we're coming into the autumn, I can't go out in the back garden once it gets dark without killing about three snails.
Yeah.
And they would, I'm sure, make the same kind of crunchy sound.
True. Yeah.
So,
cockroaches? I mean, because they're not getting like the Maltesers or something.
Well, where's the link between a sound of a croc? the sound of a cockroach being crunched.
Yes.
How does it become erotic? Like, I don't understand that.
A crotch roach.
A crotch roach. Maybe it's the word cock.
So, you know, to look on the bright side.
What bright side?
He doesn't want to hump the back of her leg, nor does he want, he's not bringing home bags of cockroaches.
I'm not sure which is the worst.
Hairy armpits is probably on a scale of all those things, probably relatively benign.
I think he could probably live with it if he can just keep it under control. Do you know what I mean?
Like,
The only thing is, if you went on holidays and the woman on the lilo beside you was kind of lying back with her arms, you'd
with
be
their
looking
hairy
at
arms.
Him making sure that he wasn't lusting after her armpits. You see, it's fraught with difficulty.
But why shouldn't a woman have big hairy arms?
Oh, you can have hairy armpits.
Yeah. Him lusting after another woman's armpits.
But I don't like any man telling you what way you should.
What you mean,
You see.
And also, I don't think any man has the right to tell, or anybody has the right to tell their partner how or how not they should present themselves. So she's not comfortable with having hairy armpits. Like,
yes.
You shouldn't have hairy armpits.
So is this all over?
Just makes him happy. I think it is. My advice is, I'd tell him to jog on and find somebody else who's into hair growing.
I'd still prefer him to your man that took the wife to the electric picnic, though.
Would you?
I would, yeah.
Okay.
And actually, in fact, that woman who is getting the text from your man should actually text him back and ask for a picture of his armpits. That'd get rid of him pretty quick.
Or unless he finds
the back of his knees
stimulating. As someone says, my husband is also into racing cars. His social media is full of pictures of cars. But can either of the women tell me how we can get him to the gym? He's going to have to get bigger cars to race if he keeps going the way he is.
Oh, I can tell you a whole story about that. Our marriage nearly went down the toilet over my husband's addiction to cars.
I'm glad you said cars.
Yeah.
Oh my God. You left a dramatic pause there.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. No, and he bought a car that it was, I have all the terminology wrong. It was a pretendy. What's the name of this? Oh, I can't try. It's like an old fashioned sports car thing.
Right.
Open. And I had such a hissy fit about it because we couldn't afford it that he couldn't bring it home and he had to park it in a shed and pay for it to be stored for about 3 years until I finally got over myself and said, okay, you can bring it home because we moved house and we had a garage. But I mean, and then I got over myself because he used to go out at night in it when it was dark.
You
and he said, I'll
offended.
Take you up the mountains and we'll have a look at the stars. And I thought, okay, that's grand. The two of us got into it. I swear to God, we shot down the N11 and I'm sure we looked like two elephants on a fucking ironing board. I mean, we looked absolutely ridiculous. He got rid of it shortly after that because he did get too fat to fit into it. He couldn't change the gears.
Oh, God.
There's no room between us.
Oh, good God. Armpit sex is better known as bagpiping.
Okay, yeah.
That's very
useful.
I get that.
That's bagpiping. Yeah.
That's a very useful text.
I am now thinking of a Jack Russell playing a bagpipe. I'm just gone completely. Stop. I'm sorry.
Let's move on to something in the real world. A more familiar world. My best friend of over 20 years is going through a very tough breakup with a partner she was with for over 10 years. I'm there to support her and talk whenever she needs. However, I'm extremely concerned about her drinking habits of late. We usually meet up once every 2 weeks for a wine night. Recently, she's been showing up to said wine night already drunk. She's now drinking 2 bottles of wine to herself when we usually shared one or 1.5 bottles together. Sometimes I call her in the evening to check on her and she seems to be slurring her words. I think she might be using alcohol as a crutch. How do I broach the topic of her drinking, especially seeing as I'm fond of a drink myself? That's a hard one.
It is a very hard one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a very hard one to deal with. And I don't think there's any kind of easy fix that we can offer. But my limited experience of this is that very often people with a drinking problem are very clever at hiding it and can often seem to be able to function, you know, very well and disguise the fact that they are drinking. But if you suspect that your friend is drinking a lot, you're probably right. You know, how to broach it very gently and when it's just the two of you. But again, my limited experience, she'll likely deny it because she doesn't want to have to.
Yeah, if she's drinking with her the 2 bottles of wine.
Yeah.
then you can say, God, that's quite a lot, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
But I think if she thinks she's a drinking problem, she's probably drinking on her own a lot as well.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
where it gets
yeah,
really dangerous, yeah, I think, you yeah, know. I mean, the bottom line is it's very difficult to try and help somebody unless they ask or you feel they want to be helped, mm, unless they're yeah, kind of saying, look, this is a problem and mm, I need to try and sort it out. And then that's where being a good friend comes into play and, mm, and you know, giving them the support and the help and kind of the, you know, being with them as they try and work their way into a recovery. Mm. I don't know if she's asking us that or if she's asking us, I'm not sure if she really does have a drinking, like is this
yes,
serious?
Because yeah, she's still going through the breakup.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, the only thing I would say to her is remain a friend who's in close contact, mm, you know, keep in contact with her. And, you know, that's really all you can do and not, you know, try and not go on mad benders with lots of bottles of wine. Mm.
I would, because she is drinking in front of her, so that's fine. Mm. So you can actually say, mm, that's, look, just, you know, feel free to tell me to F off. But I do think you're drinking a bit too much. And she might go F you and all the, you know, mm, you know, and all that. But I think at least you've broached it. Then if she does come to the conclusion herself, then she has an opening to go back to you and say, look, will you give me a hand with this or whatever?
Yeah, yeah.
Usually people who kind of use drink to dull an emotion, they don't like to be told not to drink. Mm. They mm, don't like to be told not. Maybe suggest cutting down rather than cutting out, mm, or even suggest, why don't we go on some kind of, you know, fitness thing where we, you know, whatever, try to, you know, would it be like, that would be another way of coping with mm, your sorrow over the breakdown of the relationship, you know, and then maybe, you know, suggest cutting down the drink. I don't think, you know, to go around and say you drink too much is, you know, and I, you know, but I think voicing gentle concern is no harm. You, as yeah, I say, she may not take it well initially, but then she may think about it and go away and think about it and then say, okay, right, I think you're right, you know, mm, because like, the
unfortunate, I think that's a good point. I think, mm, you know, letting her know that you know she's yeah, drinking too much, that's a very good point, I think, is really important. Even if your friend denies it and goes, no, I'm not, you know, I just, mm, you know, I had a blowout the other night just because yeah, I was feeling sad, but I'm not drinking too much. But I mean, mm, if she's calling over in the evening, she said sometimes I call to her in the evening to check on her and she seems to be slurring her words. Mm. They're friends for a long time. She'll know when she's slurring yeah, her words. And
she's probably
when she's
drinking
not,
every night.
And then it's the drinking on your own then and drinking just to get through the day, which isn't healthy at all.
And, like, and unfortunately, those things, you know, the dependency will grow if it's not.
Yeah.
You know.
Then again, God, I mean, God love her. She's going through a yeah, bad breakup and she's, you know, it's obvious why she's drinking. Mm-hmm. She's trying to kind of pain a bit.
I wonder, does she live alone? Like, was she living with this person with whom she's yeah, broken up and now she's living on her mm, own? Because I think that puts an extra layer of kind of
loneliness,
concern in.
Loneliness.
Because you're on your own, with, you know, you can't, mm-hmm, you know.
I completely sympathize.
I can understand, yeah, absolutely. But and it's really hard.
I would gently yeah, suggest that.
And keep it, keep up the contact yeah, and that kind of stuff, yeah.
My husband is a tight arse at money and it's driving me crazy. I always knew he was frugal, but when we met 17 years ago, it didn't seem as bad. However, since he turned 50, he has gone into overdrive. I partially blame Excel. He's become obsessed with documenting everything we spend and earn in Excel spreadsheets. Coffees, tea, haircuts and bottles of wine, which in theory sounds good. But after his 50th birthday party, he made a list of everyone who attended and how much money they gave him, which I thought was excessive. Ooh. He tracks our joint account and has now told me it's no longer in the budget to get a takeaway on Friday nights. I have two problems with this. One, I gave up work after our third child to stay at home and I don't earn any money. Two, I don't want to cook on Friday nights. There's only 10 years left on our mortgage, which is only €900. So I don't really know what he's worried about. How should I broach this topic?
I wonder. Is there some kind of hidden financial problem there? I just
maybe,
wonder. I don't know. But it is difficult. If, it would be different if she had a job and she could say it's my money and you can, you know. But if he earns the money, I'm not saying he's right.
I disagree with you there.
Okay, go for it.
Yeah. Disagree with you there totally. Because I think that this is the nut of the problem. the first thing this woman has to realize is that just because he earns the money and she stays at home looking after the kids, I mean, it isn't his money.
Yes.
It's their money.
Yeah.
Her work has value.
Yes.
And actually, in fact, I looked this up and last year a study valued the work of a stay-at-home parent to be in the region of 55 grand.
Wow.
So her work has value, even though society doesn't say it has value. There's no money in her bank account that comes from minding the children and running a house. But he couldn't do what he does if she wasn't at home looking
And I wasn't saying that. But
no, I know you weren't. But I think for her, she needs not to be on the back foot about this.
Yeah.
They're a joint enterprise in this family together. Okay, he goes out and earns the money. She's at home doing the whatever. But financial decisions should be made together by the two of them. Yeah. He doesn't have the right to just veto their spending purely because he's the one that's actually physically earning it. They both need to sit down and make decisions over where the spending is or where the cutbacks need to be, if there is cutbacks. Mm. So, you know, I think that, and it's very difficult if you're a stay-at-home parent to have that confidence to kind of go, hang on a minute, just because you're earning it, it's our money. It's not your money. It's our money. Same way as it's our house.
Yeah.
Even though you might be the only one paying the mortgage at the moment, it's our house.
Yeah.
But I mean, as regards the Friday night takeaway, like that's an absolute red line there.
God, yes.
Do you know, you're well entitled to your Friday night takeaway. Like that's an absolute non-negotiable. That is a non-negotiable. I wouldn't get back into the detail necessarily of whatever he's doing in his Excel spreadsheet with all the, but I mean, decisions should be made together. If he decides to cut back on something, you both decide it. He doesn't.
Yeah, I just wonder if there is a hidden financial difficulty that she doesn't know about.
Do you know what I'm wondering? Might it be more? He's just turned 50. And I think very often
intimations of mortality here.
Yes. And also, you know, pension and, you know, maybe I'll have to retire in the next 10, 15 years and maybe we don't have a pension and maybe he's trying to store. I don't know. I mean, there could be a million reasons.
And then people do go a little bit with middle age. They do go a little bit, you know, wobbly. Yeah. I mean, in terms of, you know, something, they can get obsessed by something. And I say this as an old age pensioner myself. You know, you can get obsessed by something just.
And I think also when you're at the age where you know you're not going to get a bank loan.
Yes.
You know,
that's true.
That kind of is quite a sobering kind of reality. Yeah. You know, that you kind of go, we need to have a little bit of cash put away somewhere because, you know, if something, we can't go to the bank and say we need to borrow 10 grand in order to do this or that and the other, you know, because they're just going to run you out the door. Because
I would suspect he needs to speak to a counsellor.
Would you?
Yeah, he's having some sort of, he's expressing a crisis through kind of obsessive behavior, putting everything on a spreadsheet because, you know, that's, I can control this. I can control the aging process. I can control my fear about the future by doing all these things.
Yeah.
Whereas, really, you know,
he's not controlling anything.
He's not controlling anything, but also, like, you know, probably they've only got 10 years left in the mortgage.
Yeah.
The mortgage doesn't seem that big.
No.
You know, this might be a period of life that you should enjoy more.
Exactly.
Than, yeah.
Absolutely. Exactly. That's good. Yeah. No, I would think maybe that is right.
Yeah. There is. It could be a midlife crisis, but I still think there is something financially going on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know,
could be that.
He could be one of those people who go to work and the work is no longer. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
he's not working anymore.
Yeah. Like he's, you know, the way some people, you know,
he's pretending to go to work. Oh, God.
Well, I hope there's nothing like that.
No, I hope so too.
Someone says one of the major rifts in my broken marriage was my wife earned more than me and used to see it as her money versus mine. And that gave her a power in terms of financial decisions. We never saw eye to eye in it. And if I truly believe it was one of the root causes of us not being compatible, my argument was that if we ever had kids and she gave up work, what I earned would be ours. And she couldn't accept that. And though someone else says, tell him if she leaves, the expenses will skyrocket. So it will be fiscally advisable to get that takeaway.
Yeah. That's
Mary and Barbara, thank you both very much. You are listening to The Moncrief Show on Newstalk.